Well, first, I want to thank Ralph for sure for allowing us the opportunity to come together here like this in the Krishnamurti Educational Center Zoom room. And greetings to all of you here and to those of you who will listen on later on. I note that some of us in attendance go back many years, and some others have been in touch with me or the two of us in more recent times. And still others I've not yet met. But whichever is the case, please know that it's very gratifying for me to see you all present here today. Thanks for coming. This is the first day of a 3-day workshop in which we're going to investigate together the fundamental nature of life and of the universe and of mind and of consciousness, as well as the presence of pure awareness. But before we begin, it's important to point out that what we'll be investigating throughout the series is not knowable from the standpoint of mind. So rather than looking to concepts of mind for answers, which is the typical approach to learning, we instead want to find out if it's possible to allow the truth of what Krishnamurti simply called what is to clarify from within. There is a process that we all go through, whether we realize it or not, to one degree or another, that clarifies the truth of what is or not. So rather than focusing our attention on concepts of mind or the meaning of words spoken here, let's instead allow the mind to be still and rest in awareness as much as possible. Without judging or analyzing what is said here, as we delve into the nature of the truth of what is. In other words, let's just be present here now and see what shows. The intent throughout this series is not to learn about physics or the physics of the material universe or to determine which concepts of minds are true versus others that are false, but rather is to realize what actually is so within ourselves, as ever greater clarity comes to light. The living truth of what is actually so typically goes unnoticed as we go about daily life, even though pure awareness is always present in everything that appears in consciousness. We simply, as yet, are not fully aware of this fact. For awakenings and insights into the truth of what is to occur, the veil that has become deeply embedded in the psyche of humankind, that essentially covers up the truth of what is, must disintegrate and ultimately collapse and die away to allow the presence of pure awareness to be in the foreground of conscious being. So rather than looking to concepts of mind for answers, which is our habit, let's allow the mind to be still, yet alert and perceptive. And from this perspective, which is no perspective at all, simply see what clarifies in the here and now. This is what this workshop is ultimately about. Clarification in the here and now about the nature of pure presence and pure being. Resting in pure awareness, absent identification with the content of mind, provides a more fruitful environment for the truth of what is to unveil itself from within. If not immediately, eventually, perhaps tomorrow, or the next day, or a week, or a month from now, in a moment of repose, when one least expects it, suddenly, an awakening or insight occurs. Ye know not when, as the biblical saying goes, and the living truth to which words can only point in an instant is revealed. This process of clarification from within is how one increasingly learns to live in the eternally present now. Contrary to ancient tradition, realizing the truth of pure presence is not about meditating in any specific form or practicing rituals or holding to certain beliefs or reading books on the nature of enlightenment, but is about maintaining as much as possible an open mind and an open heart, and thus allowing for introspection and internal vigilance to consistently occur, which unveils the truth of how the body works and how the mind works and how relationships work and how desire, frustration, anger, hatred, and all the rest of it, which is the antithesis of love, builds up and expresses in daily life, ongoing. Perceiving the truth of what is requires a shift in perception, the nature of which we'll go into more deeply tomorrow, that brings ever greater clarity to light as the body-mind organism evolves and transforms from within. And as the organism is transformed, so also ever greater clarity comes to light. Today, we're going to investigate together the underlying nature of the material universe, manifesting in what appears, from the standpoint of mind, as space and time. What do manifestations in the material realm that appear in consciousness consist of or imply? And what brings order and intelligence into that which is expressed everywhere at once, continuously, in the material realm? Tomorrow, we'll inquire more deeply into the nature of the human mind and how the mind works, how it functions, its usefulness, and perhaps most importantly, its limitations, as the human brain interprets that which appears in consciousness as space and time. And on Sunday, we'll inquire into how it is possible to realize the truth of what is, as perceived from the standpoint of pure awareness, rather than the standpoint of mind. Is it possible to simply be aware of that which appears in consciousness without judging or identifying with the appearance in any way? To simply be present without reacting to that which appears to occur in the space-time realm? Before we dive in, though, I do want to be clear that I'm not playing the role of teacher here, nor am I an expert in any field or study. No one is teaching anything to anyone here, even though we'll be sharing insights and knowledge that might seem at first to be a bit abstract. You will not be tested at the end of this series to prove your capacity to remember anything that JC or anyone else says. This workshop is not about remembering anything at all, but is about realizing within oneself the truth of what is. So before we begin, let's take a moment, each in our own way, and allow the mind to be still, so that as we inquire together into the underlying nature of the material universe, we are resting as much as possible in pure awareness and simply observing what shows in this moment without the activity of mind getting in the way. So today, we're inquiring into the underlying nature of the material universe as it appears in awareness now. What is it that appears as force and form? What is it that manifests into material expression, ongoing, continuously, everywhere at once? What is it made of? And how does it express and evolve in such an orderly and intelligent manner as it has for millions upon millions of years. According to physicists, the subatomic realm consists of elemental particles, each of which represents an electrical charge, either negative or positive, or in the case of neutrons, neutral. And these particles form the substrate, one might say, of the entire material realm, as electrically charged moments of energy coalesce and converge with other electrically charged moments of energy to form ever more complex structures of all variety and kind at the elemental level of material expression. The term particle in physics is actually misleading because there is nothing solid in the subatomic realm. What physicists call particles are actually spinning, spiraling, pulsating vortices of energy in perpetual motion. And these spinning, spiraling moments of energy create an electrical charge that interacts with other moments of electrically charged energy to create a range of forces, such as gravity and magnetism, that ultimately determine the size, shape, movement, and complexity of that which appears in material form, everywhere at once, at all times of material expression. These spinning, spiraling forces of energy that enliven all that appears are evident throughout nature. In the movement, rotation, and revolution of planets and stars, and the force and rotation of hurricanes and tornadoes, and in the spiraling designs we see in fossils and seashells, or water spiraling down a drain, even in DNA that is found in all organic expressions. Nothing appears in the material universe absent spinning, spiraling waves of energy manifesting at all levels of material expression. Energy is fundamental to everything that appears in the material universe, no exceptions. And this means that the subatomic realm is in a state of constant flux. As spinning, spiraling waves of energy morph into ever more complex fields of material expression, continuously, all while leaving no trace as to how, when, or where the next movement or force of energy might occur. So the substrata of all forms and forces that appear as the material universe is a virtual sea of fluctuating, undulating quantum events, of which little else is known. What we do know is that fluctuations of this nature occur continuously, unceasingly, and intelligently. The moment that energy moves from a motionless state to an energized state and back again points to the moment of birth and death of manifested phenomena at the subatomic level of creation, as vortices of energy in the subatomic realm rise out of the void, which is the unknowable source, into the realm of material expression and back again, birthing and dying continuously. But we want to be clear on this point. That which is born and dies is the material aspect of being, not the awareness of that which appears in the material realm. Awareness is not born, nor does awareness die. Awareness is simply present and aware, untouched by the impulses of material expression, as waves of spiraling, vibrating energy rise, move, abate, merge, and transform throughout the material realm, while awareness is simply aware. That's all. Another aspect of subatomic particles worth noting here is that spinning, spiraling moments of energy that arise out of the void are not separate entities unto themselves. There is no such thing as a form or a current or a wave of energy, whether simple or complex, that is a separate entity unto itself. Nothing in the material universe is ever separate from the whole of creation expressing now. The material universe is and always has been one holistic movement of energy, regardless of what any movement might seem to be from the point of view of mind. Albert Einstein pointed out that everything that appears as the material universe, from the simplest to the most complex, arises out of fields. Fields of energy, flowing, swirling, pulsating, vibrating movements of energy that integrate, transform, and manifest into what appear as the material universe, expressing now everywhere at once. This energy that arises out of fields creates unique living expressions that in general appear to be similar when they're respective within their respective fields. But even so, no two expressions in any one field are ever exactly the same. The energy field that formulates roses, for instance, is simply different than the energy field that formulates other flowers, bushes, or trees within the overall energy field of plants. It's the same for whales and chimpanzees within the overall energy field of animals, as well as everything else that appears, moves, and has its being in the material realm. So, as with all generalized fields, within the overall field that expresses in the form of plants, for instance, there arises many and varied unique fields within the broader, more generalized field of plants. But again, no two oak trees in the generalized field of trees are ever exactly alike, even though they appear within their respective field to be generally the same. It's the same for human beings. Even identical twins born out of the same womb are never exactly alike. All living organisms expressing now and forevermore are unique expressions like no other, even though they might appear within their respective fields to be generally the same. So when we lump groups of plants or animals or people into categories and think of them as the same per conceptualizations of mind, we're not seeing or realizing the uniqueness, wholeness, and natural beauty of creation itself as it moves, transforms, and has its being in the here and now in whatever expression that appears. The body-mind organism that we visually see and separate conceptually per interpretations of mind into you and me is actually the densest aspect of the human energy field that appears as if separate from other human energy fields that appear as if separate from me when such is not actually the case. The body-mind organism we visually see is the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, when considering the human energy field in its entirety. What we don't generally see is the movement of energy that underlies and supports that which physically, organically appears in the material realm. Like all complex fields, the human energy field is a matrix of multiple fields. We know this because different fields transmit different patterns of electrical activity, more so in humans than in any other organic expression, that function harmoniously together to generate what appears to be, as interpreted of mind, a singular human energy field in its entirety, as if such a field is an entity unto itself when it is not. The same is true for the rose and the tree and the whale and the chimpanzee. No living organism is ever separate from the whole of creation expressing now. This is a fact to which physicists agree. There is no such thing as a separate entity living within itself, existing separately, of any nature or kind, anywhere in the universe of material expression. In his notebook, Krishnamurti described creation in this way, and I'm quoting here. Creation is never in the hands of the individual. It ceases entirely when individuality, with its capacities, gifts, techniques, and so on, become dominant. Creation is the movement of the unknowable essence of the whole. It is never the expression of the part. End quote. The notion of separate entities is an illusion created by the conceptualizing process of the human mind. Clairvoyants are able to perceive more holistically the energy that expresses as the human energy field, tell us that the field of the human organism actually consists of numerous complex fields that move and express in a range of frequencies. Again, pulsating, resonating, integrating, in and through what appears to be, from the point of view of mind, a human organism that supports and sustains numerous functions, like breathing, rhythmic beating, flowing, and so forth, throughout the organism as a whole. Clairvoyants also point out that the human energy fields in their totality are significantly larger in overall appearance than the material organism that the rest of us generally see. And today's technology confirms this to be true. We can now determine, for instance, through electromagnetic testing, whether organs in the body are harmoniously resonating within their respective fields or not, by measuring electrical activity generating within each system as it functions. So we can now create photographic images of the brain by measuring electrical activity unique to the various parts of the brain to determine the quality of functionality within each part. We also create visual images of the heart by measuring electrical activity again, unique to the heart, to determine whether the heart is functioning properly or not. We can scan the entire body with radio waves, looking for strong and weak magnetic fields to determine if there are problems of functionality within the body-mind organism as a whole. And we've learned by using these new technologies that the heart generates electromagnetic signals at amplitudes 40 to 60 times greater than the brain, which is why the heart torus, which is the aura of the heart that clairvoyants can see, typically radiates 10 to 15 feet beyond the body, much more so than the aura of the brain. Which is why when a good-hearted person enters a room, they literally light up the room, right? Electromagnetically speaking, it turns out that the heart is considerably more powerful than the brain. Electronic measuring devices also reveal that when in the presence of compassion and love, the heart functions more coherently than when repression, denial, and hatred are in play. And when the brain and heart are electromagnetically in sync, they function more coherently together, with greater intelligence and clarity than when they are not. And the opposite is also true. When the brain and heart are out of sync, they function less intelligently, more erratically, with less clarity, because incoherent wave patterns are in play. These dynamics are often felt within the body-mind organism as joy and lightheartedness when the brain and heart are in sync, or despair and depression when they are not in sync. We've all experienced this electromagnetic reality of the heart and brain at one time or another, have we not? This is a measurable, provable fact. So again, per the laws of physics, what appears from a conceptualized point of view to be a multitude of independent organisms, living and expressing as if they were separate entities that embody an assortment of separate parts, a brain and a heart, lungs, nervous system, and so on, is in reality a dense blur of interference patterns that are constantly moving and morphing, waxing and waning as they form a variety of energy matrices of one kind or another that holistically express in harmony with one another, or not, as the totality of humanity. Not many separate realities, but one holistic reality that does not exist separately from the whole of creation expressing now. The one in the many, and the many in the one, as the ancient saying goes. But despite these facts, humans continue to imagine that we exist as separate entities who are entrusted with the task of figuring out what life is all about through the accumulation of knowledge as conceived of mind. When in truth, the notion of the sense of separateness is an illusion of mind, an illusion that makes it seem as if the entire universe, including the universe of humankind, is a multitude of separate parts that appear to function independently of one another when they do not. There is no such thing as a material, organic expression that is separate from the whole of creation appearing now. This statement regarding all material expressions appearing now is accurate and true. It is a fact. It's the human mind that creates the illusion of separateness, that makes it seem as if the universe is filled with separate parts, with individual beings, when it is not. The cosmic energy that produces the many and varied electromagnetic forces that appear in the material realm is the same cosmic energy that expresses in ever more complex organic form, ranging from gases, liquids, and minerals, to planets, stars, and galaxies, to organic life, including fish, birds, plants, animals, and human beings, as well as thoughts, concepts, and images of mind. Everything that appears in consciousness, regardless of the nature or kind, is in essence energized movements of interference patterns, spiraling, pulsating, vibrating, and thereby expressing holographically everywhere at once, as the material universe in its entirety. And this has always been so. So what does this all mean with respect to conscious awareness of what actually is so? What does the essence of the material universe have to do with being aware of that which appears? Does conscious awareness affect that which appears in any way? What we are saying here now is that everything that appears in consciousness is never separate from the whole of creation appearing now. And the same is true for pure presence that is simply aware. Independent organisms are not individually aware. Awareness is aware. One whole organism appearing now, and one awareness of all that is. That's all. That which appears as if separate, based on the conceptualizing processes of the human mind, is an illusion created of a mind that makes it appear as if separate entities exist when this is not actually the case. Let's take a quick moment here at this time and just be still. Again, each in our own way. Before we delve into the nature of light, which will be the final segment for today. The light of physics is not the same as the light of day. It's impossible to see or envision the light of physics via the eyes or the brain. What we are able to envision is the movement of energy that translates in the brain as the material universe. And this movement seems to be motivated and organized by something that is not fully understood. And that something is what physicists call light. We don't actually know what light is, other than it permeates, enlightens, and motivates in an intelligent, orderly way the energy that expresses as the material universe in its entirety. We also know that the material universe would not be possible without the presence of light permeating everything that appears. Physicists describe light in terms of photons and waves because light functions differently than all other subatomic particles that are characterized in terms of energy or mass. Light seems to organize, motivate and direct the energy that appears simply by being present within the energy that appears, as if a messenger from the source of all that is, creating intelligent action instantaneously everywhere at once. Absent the presence and intelligence of light, no material universe would appear. Two constants, physicists say, are applicable to light. The first is that, unlike other aspects of the material universe, light never rests, but is in constant motion at a precise speed in a vacuum, such as outer space, of 186,282 miles per second. How they figure that out, I have no idea. But that seems to be what it is. According to Einstein's theory of relativity, light does appear to slow down when passing through denser forms of energy like water or glass, but nothing that appears in the material universe travels faster or more constantly than the speed of light. The second constant is that each photon of light represents an identical moment of energy called a quantum of light that is constantly present in all that appears, everywhere at once. No single moment of energy at the subatomic level of expression is ever expressed absent the presence of at least a quantum of light. Another aspect unique to light is that, unlike all other subatomic particles, photons appear and disappear without leaving a trace of any distance traveled from one point to the next, which complicates the notion that light travels at all. Photons do not interact in space and time in any observable physical way. They do not represent, or excuse me, they do not respond or react to any known cause and effect. They are simply present in all that appears. And other than being present, photons exhibit no other relative relationship to other subatomic particles that appear in the material realm. So we can at least say with a high degree of certainty that the presence of light motivates, integrates, and illuminates what appears as the material phenomenal universe at all times, everywhere at once, without actually appearing itself as a force or a form. Light instead brings order to the energy that expresses as force and form throughout the entire universe of manifested creation, continuously. Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared, proclaims that with certainty that the essence of what appears in the material universe is energy. That's what the E in the equation stands for, energy. So everything that appears, regardless of what the appearance might ultimately be, is born out of energy, expressing now. That's all. Einstein's equation also says that energy and mass are equivalent. Energy equals mass, and mass equals energy. So planet Earth, for instance, and everything that appears within the context of planet Earth, including human beings, equates to a massive amount of energy. While what we call outer space that surrounds planet Earth, not so much. Outer space exhibits little, if any, mass, because little, if any, energy expresses there. No energy, no mass. Also, according to this equation, the speed of light squared factors in as well. So energy, mass, and light are unalterably linked in this way. One cannot be without the other. Absent energy, there is no mass. Absent light, there is no energy or mass. E equals mc squared. That's the material universe in a nutshell, expressed in mathematical form. Einstein's equation also predicts that if the mass of an object was to attain the speed of light, then its energy and its mass would become infinite, meaning it would dematerialize into something other than energy, other than mass, other than material expression. So, hopefully you're following all this. I'm sorry if it's confusing. If that which is other than material form is infinite, as Einstein declared, then that which is other than energy, in essence, equates to the ineffable, inexpressible source of all that is. Ineffable and expressible also means unspeakable and indescribable. Absent energy, absent mass, absent light, any one of these three call this the Trinity of modern physics. Nothing would appear either as the material universe or in consciousness of same. The presence of light illuminates all that appears as it appears. The presence of light everywhere at once also implies that the world of duality, as conceived of mind, does not actually exist. It implies that the only true reality is non-dual reality. And what appears as if to be separate forms and forces that appear as the material universe is in fact an illusion created of mind, because forms and forces that appear would not and could not appear absent the omnipresence of light, and light is one reality, not two. And if light does not travel in the space-time sense from one locality to another, but is simply present in all that appears, then the light of physics and pure awareness must be, in essence, the same reality, or at least inexorably linked in some way. Like light, pure awareness does not appear as a form or a force of energy in the material phenomenal realm, including appearances of concepts of mind. Concepts are subtle forms of energy that appear in awareness. Awareness does not appear in a concept of mind. Also, like light, awareness does not travel from one place to another. Nor is awareness located in any one place versus another. Pure awareness is simply present, whether one is aware of this presence or not. Pure awareness is not present in the past or here now in the future, but is only and always present here now. Thus, the word light and the word awareness likely points to the same reality, such that one might rightly say that the light of pure awareness illuminates all that appears in consciousness to one degree or another, depending on the circumstances within which light is present. Does the circumstance tend to cover up and darken the presence of light? Or does the circumstance tend to illuminate the truth of what is from within when in the presence of light? The human brain is an outgrowth of the field of mind, and therefore is a material expression that is rooted in the field of mind, which means of itself, the brain is incapable of conceiving a reality that is beyond fields or other than fields. That which is of the field cannot know that which is beyond the field, just as that which is beyond fields remains eternally untouched by all that appears within fields. Fields that are constantly changing and transforming from one moment to the next, everywhere at once. Tomorrow, we'll delve more deeply into the nature of mind. How does the human brain function? How do concepts of mind come into being? And how does one's relationship with the content of mind bring about the illusion of separateness that distorts and veils the truth of what is?